Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. On the last day of his three-day apostolic journey to Benin, Pope Benedict XVI celebrates a big open-air mass and appeals to African leaders to serve their people honestly. And we look back to some of the highlights of this African voyage. Pope Benedict XVI on Sunday celebrated a big open-air mass, capping a trip to Africa where he appealed to leaders to serve their people honestly. He also had strong words for rich nations whom he invited to shun a condescending know-it-all attitude towards the continent. The morning event was the highlight of a three-day apostolic journey to the West African nation of Benin, the country chosen to receive the apostolic exhortation that resulted from the 2009 Synod of Bishops for Africa. Veronica Scaresbrick has this report.
As you can hear, the atmosphere may have been prayerful, but it was also joyful in the Stade de l'Amitié, the Friendship Stadium, just outside Cotonou, the Republic of Benin's economic capital, on Sunday morning. This structure can fit up to 30,000 people. But on Sunday, to attend Holy Mass presided over by Pope Benedict XVI, there wasn't enough space for everyone. 80,000 more spilled out around the stadium, an orderly congregation. Not just from Benin, but from different parts of Africa, eager to welcome the successor of Peter.
Benedict XVI, head of the Universal Church, who stands in the midst of our church in Africa, assembled here today.
They came from neighboring countries, Togo, Nigeria, Burkina Faso, Niger, and the languages used during this mass were often local. But the outreach of this mass wasn't just local. It was to the entire African continent. 200 bishops from across Africa can celebrate it. They were here with the Holy Father on the Feast of Christ the King for a special occasion, one during which Benedict XVI would personally present them with a document, the post-synodal exhortation Africae Munus, of which he signed four copies the previous day at the Minor Basilica in nearby Ouidah. Four copies, one in Latin, the universal language of the Catholic Church, and the remaining three in languages commonly spoken across Africa, French, Portuguese and English. This exhortation I've just mentioned is the concluding document of the 2009 October Special Assembly of the Synod of Bishops for Africa, which took place in the Vatican to discuss the themes of reconciliation, justice and peace. Many of the African bishops who were present on Sunday at the Stadio de l'Amitié in Cotonou were the same who attended that synod. There are 36 bishops' conferences across Africa, as well as 7 regional bishops' conferences and a special council for Africa. Let's listen to Pope Benedict's words in English on the occasion of this presentation, which took place following the Eucharistic celebration.
I hope that this exhortation will guide you in the proclamation of the good news of Jesus in Africa. It is not just a message or a word. It is above all openness and adhesion to a person, Jesus Christ's incarnate word.
He alone, Benedict XVI continued, possesses the words of life eternal. Following the example of Christ, all Christians are called to reflect the mercy of the Father and the light of the Holy Spirit. Evangelization presupposes and brings with it reconciliation, and it promotes peace and justice. Earlier on, during Mass, in the course of his homily, the Pope had read a line in the local fon, meaning, "May the Lord fill you with his graces." But then he also spoke in English beyond French and Portuguese. "We are reminded," he said, "that true royalty does not consist in a show of power, but in the humility of service, not in the oppression of the weak, but in the ability to protect them and to lead them to life in abundance.
Through the cross, he breaks down the walls of division. He reconciles us with each other and with the Father. We pray today for the people of Africa, that all may be able to live in justice, peace, and the joy of the kingdom of God.
I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
Thanks there to Veronica Scaresbrick for that report. Amongst those present to participate in papal events in Benin was the Archbishop of Gulu and President of the Uganda Bishops' Conference, John Baptist Odama. He describes his feelings as he witnessed Pope Benedict sign the apostolic exhortation, Africae Munus.
This was very historic event, I must say, because it's the first time I witnessed an occasion like signing of exhortation of the Synod Acts. So it was, I was filled with gratitude, first of all, to God for this, and also for the invitation His Holiness gave to us that we should come to Benin, especially to Cotonou, to witness this event. Now that the signing has been done, that means the exhortation now is for the public consumption. Therefore, I would be, on behalf of the Conference of Uganda, I've been very, very much delighted to say that this document, we have been waiting for it. You know that the propositions, about 57 of them, were given by the Pope to us at the time when we were getting the results of our synod. And that was very exciting too for us, because this was very unusual that the Pope gives what you call exhortation, the propositions for the people to go with. And that kept us busy. Now that we have this document, the first thing I will do is to make it, present it. I want to present it to the Episcopal Conference officially. And there we would like to see the implementation of this. Partially, we had done something already after the synod when the propositions were given. But this time now, we are going to be more motivated to see that the implementation is really done nationwide. And therefore, we are calling all the bishops to make sure that every diocese, and every parish, and down to the Christian community, they get involved in the implementation of this. Because our country surely needs reconciliation, needs the practice of justice and peace.
The Pope's reception in the West African country of Benin has been by far one of the most exuberant of all his 22 foreign trips. The crowd, many dressed in colourful robes and dresses emblazoned with his picture, danced and sung in the local phone language and in French. Vatican spokesman Father Federico Lombardi said that although it's important for the Vatican the Pope be well received by the authorities, it's even more important the people be happy.
I think that this visit was really a big success from the pastoral and the spiritual point of view. The people has received the Pope with a very great enthusiasm, and for us it is important that the authorities receive well the Pope, but it's more important that the people are happy with the Pope. And I think the Pope was very impressed by this way of many people on the street around him, and all were very happy, all were singing, dancing, smiling. And this is an African way to receive, as the Pope has said. Yes. And was very spontaneous. And I think that this demonstrates that the people understand that the Pope loves them, that the Catholic Church loves them, all, not only the Catholic, not only the Christian, but all.
And assessing the three-day apostolic journey, Father Lombardi pointed out that when in Africa, the Pope himself is African. He's at home.
The Pope in Africa is at home. He is not someone that comes from Rome. He's a stranger, no? He's a foreigner. No, the Pope is African because the Pope is responsible for the faith in Africa. The faith has profound roots in Africa, as everywhere in the world. And then this is a good tradition that is already a tradition by John Paul II, to come to the different continents to bring the documents that were done for these continents. I think this is, for us now, is practically obvious. Yes. But it was not so obvious in the past, as also traveling was difficult. But now, for the Pope, it was clear to come to Africa to bring the document, to begin the way of the Synod, and then to bring the document, the signs, the first end of the work of the Synod and the beginning of the translation in the practice of the Synod.
And as Veronica already mentioned, the main purpose of the Pope's journey, his second to Africa since the beginning of his papacy in 2005, was to sign the synodal document in which he addresses the Catholic Church's view of the continent's future.
The Pope has valorized the human resources that are seeds of hope in the life of the people, but has given a possibility to develop them in a greater horizon and with a strong faith to overcome all the conflicts, the hates, the fears that are in the continent. In this sense, reconciliation, justice and peace are the horizon that can be realistic if there is this strong hope grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
One of the most moving events on Pope Benedict's busy schedule in Benin was his meeting with children. Susie Hodges tells us more.
Pope Benedict told children in Benin that the day of his first Holy Communion was one of the most beautiful days in his life.
Le jour de ma première communion a été l'un des plus beaux jours de ma vie. Pour vous aussi, n'est-ce pas?
The Pope was speaking to around 800 children gathered at St. Rita's Parish in Cotonou. His talk with the youngsters there followed a visit to a nearby shelter for abandoned, sick and malnourished children run by the Missionaries of Charity Order. The Pope told the children that Jesus, who loves us very much, is truly present in the tabernacles of all the churches in the world, and he urged the children to visit Jesus often to tell him of their love for him.
Comme Jésus, je peux moi aussi trouver chaque jour un endroit calme.
Pope Benedict then went on to speak about his own prayer life, saying he finds a calm place where he can quietly stand before a cross or a holy picture in order to speak to Jesus and to listen to him. Alternatively, the Pope told the children, I can use the gospel. This way, he said, I keep within my heart a passage which has touched me and which will guide me through the day.
Demandez aussi à vos parents de prier avec vous. Parfois.
He urged the children to ask their parents to pray to Jesus with them. Sometimes you may even have to push them a little, he added, but do not hesitate to do so. God is that important. Pope Benedict also held up a rosary, explaining what it is and how to pray it. At the end of the gathering, he gave a rosary to each of the children. As for the children of Benin themselves, what were their feelings and hopes concerning this papal visit to their nation? Our correspondent in Cotonou spoke to a group of youngsters in the city to find out more.
My name is Chelia Ogwike. I am 9 years old. I want the Pope to bless us and bless the school. I want the Pope to tell the children that God is always with them and let them pray more.
My name is Esther Aja. The name of the Pope is Benedict XVI. I wanted to say to the children to bless our mommy and our daddy and our sister, to bless all the whole country and even me, so I'll be a good girl.
My name is Michael Okenwa. I wanted to bless our school and heal our parents, and I want him to heal us. I will pray for him.
My name is Glory Opara. I want him to bless us, to pray for us, to make me understand. I want the children to love him and to pray for him.
Thanks there to Susie Hodges for that report. And looking back a little on Saturday, Pope Benedict met with priests, religious, seminarians and laypeople from Benin in the seminary city of Ouidah, a city to the west of Cotonou, which served for many years as a departure point for slaves being sold overseas. Today, the Catholic Church in the West African nation is deeply involved in promoting justice and reconciliation, themes which must be modelled within the communities of men and women religious themselves. Our correspondent in Benin, Father Moses Hamungole, spoke with Sister Felicia Nwosu from the Missionaries of Our Lady of Apostles in Cotonou about the challenges of religious life there and about her congregation's special emphasis on promoting women's rights and dignity.
The charism of OLA sisters is the evangelization, the primary evangelization, and we are also working with women for the promotion of women. We are working also in education, hospitals.
Yes. What are the apostolates that the sisters here, particularly in this convent, what are they involved in?
In this convent, we are starting again with the education, because the sisters were involved in education, and with the revolution, the school has been taken, and now we are taking it over. So we are in school, and we also have a small center of accommodation. So we accommodate priests and sisters and pastoral agents who come from the north and from any parts of the country. We accommodate them so that their stay in Cotonou will be lovely, and it will also enable them to do their shoppings. So apart from that, some sisters work at the parish as a catechist. Even though this year no sister is involved in the catechism, last year there were three. So the image of this community is not permanent, because we have also many sisters studying.
Yes. What are the fields that most of the sisters are studying then?
Presently, we have three sisters studying. One is reading psychology and education science. One is doing physiotherapy, and the last one is reading English at the university.
Yes. And these three sisters, what are they expected to do after they finish their studies?
After they finish their studies, we know that if somebody is studying physiotherapy, she will work in a center whereby patients from many diseases will come for re-education. So, and the sisters reading psychology and education science, she may work in a school. And the sisters reading out English can teach, and she can also help the congregation during international meetings, or those to translate.
Okay. Now, being here in Benin, although you are from Nigeria, how have you lived this period of preparation for the Holy Father's visit? What have been the challenges that you have seen people struggling with, or the excitement that you have seen?
It's true, we are waiting for the visit of Pope, Benedict the 16th. We are very happy to welcome him in Benin. As a challenge, the first challenge is to be able to feel that joy of welcoming him, because he's not well known like Pope John Paul II. And some people doesn't maybe like him too much, maybe because of their own vision, their own manner of seeing things. So the first thing is to be happy to receive our Pope. He is our Pope. So we shall be very, very happy and proud of him after all.
Are we to expect people singing on the roads and dancing to welcome him?
Yes. I know that people are preparing very hard. They are getting ready to welcome him, dancing, singing.
Sister, the last question is, you are a missionary working here in Benin, and Benin is well known to have produced quite a lot of vocations, both to the priesthood and the sisterhood, and also a lot in the missionary countries. How do you feel, first of all, working in a place like this one? And secondly, what is the major contribution of the missionaries to Benin?
I will start with the second question. The contribution of the missionary sisters in Benin. The missionary sisters, they have done very well. The OLA sisters, our Lady of Apostles sisters, were, let's say, the first sisters, even though the first sisters were the Franciscans of Cousin. And most of them became OLA just 8 years after their arrival here, when the congregation has been founded by a Reverend Father Augustine Planck. And they have done very well in education, in hospitals, even in empowering women. They have done very well. And most of the women working today in some organizations, even in parliamentary, they are very proud of that. Eh? You can hear them saying that they have been educated by OLA sisters, and they are very proud of that. And we can see that in their family, there is something different. There is something different. Their sisters had really done well. And I hope that we will be able to, how can I say, we will be, our young sisters, OLA sisters, we will be able to at least to challenge that, even to do more than what they have done, more than our elderly sisters have done. As a missionary, another challenge that I see is the challenge of unity, the community life, because we are coming from different countries. We are an international congregation. For example, here in Cotonou, we are 8. Coming from 5 countries, we have 2 Nigerians, 2 Togolese, 2 Beninese, 1 from Niger, 1 from Cote d'Ivoire. It is very, very challenge for us. This multicultural life, it is not easy. So if we live it very well, it will be a witness for those around us. They will be marveled. They will say, it is possible to live together. And I think that it is an important aspect in this reconciliation theme, in this reconciliation message Pope is bringing to us, because everything comes from our life, how we live together. And if we are able to live together, it's true that there is nowhere where problem is not. So when we live together, there should be problem. But the important thing is to be able to overcome it. So our witness, our life in community should be a witness for the whole world and a message of peace.
Yes, sister, but people will say you are all Africans. Can you elaborate further on the diversity of culture in Africa? Because also you find people when you say you're from Africa and they find you with another African, then they tell you speak the African language, and if you can't speak an African language, they don't understand. So maybe could you elaborate on the diversity of the culture that is there within Africa?
Yes, Father, thank you. It's true. Now in the congregation, the European sisters, they are coming lesser and lesser. So there's no vocation there. It's true. You will see in most of our communities, the sisters are African. And even taking sisters from the same country, we are different because we are not coming from the same village. Even though we are coming from the same village, we may be different from the ethnic group or tribal group. So it is also a challenge. There is also a challenge there because we have been educated differently. We come from different backgrounds. So that is what I can say about this question.
Would you want to elaborate on the theme of justice and peace?
What I can say is that justice and peace are founded on reconciliation. Because if there is no reconciliation, if we can't sit together and talk, we can't see one another, we can't talk of justice and peace, we will not be at peace. So everybody will be just living his own world. So before talking of peace and justice, we should reconcile ourselves. And after doing that, we will now see if our life is, if we are living our life very well, if we are just in all what we are doing. And on that aspect, we should be courageous enough to say what is wrong. If I take the community aspect, if in a community there is a problem and nobody has that courage to say it out or to go and meet her sister and say, this is what you did and it didn't please me, or this is how I see it. So life will continue like that, but I will not be at peace. My sister also will not be at peace. So that is why the main dot will be put on reconciliation. And if the reconciliation is done, we can now talk of peace. It's true, we have also to be just in all what we are doing. Justice is also a main aspect, because if we are not just, there will be something wrong in all what we are doing, even though people will not have that courage to tell us that what we have done is not just. There will be something wrong.
That's all from the English Feature Programme today, and from me, Linda Bordoni. But we will be back at the same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English Programme. Laudetur Jesus Christus.
Vas pa tudo lado, esperança diz que se vou pubis, é musgo na nhem em outro.